Welcome to our bi-week edition of Chiefs Live. Even though it's a bye week, there is lots to talk about. Mitch Holt is with you, along with the snapper, 15-year veteran, Pro Bowl snapper Kendall Gammon. Disappointing loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, losing to the Bucs 38-10 last week. Chiefs wanted a win to go into the bye week and try to gain some momentum and get right into the race in the AFC West. Instead, a 28-point loss and a disappointing feeling flying home from the Gulf.
It really was. And when you looked at what the Chiefs did the week before, Mitch, with Baltimore and missing some opportunities, quite honestly, to win that game and really dominating it from almost every aspect of the game, minus the turnover side of it, you felt like it was a Chiefs team that was heading down there, fairly confident, felt like they had some things going on their way, felt like they had a chance to win the game. In the end, though, they don't get it done.
Well, we're going to get to that game and more in just a little bit, but Romeo Crennel addressing the Chiefs' kingdom earlier today, talking about a variety of things, and also updated the status of quarterback Matt Cassel.
The other guy who's been on the injury list that's no longer there is Cassel. He's been cleared for non-contact practice. So he's going to be at practice today, and he's going to practice. And what I told them is I'm rotating the quarterbacks. They will get equal reps. Stanza will be the one who won't get as many reps. Both will work with the first team, and we got 2 days to work through this and have good work and do those things I just talked about as far as evaluation, getting healthy, and improving. Both of them will get work, and then we'll evaluate it. And then next week, we're going to get ready for game week. Then we'll make a decision and go from there. They will give him another test next week in game week to finalize it, all right, to make it official. But I imagine that, you know, during these couple days here, if he does good and there's nothing different on his baseline test, that he'll be clear for contact. Oh, it is distracting, you know, because everybody's wondering who the guy's going to be and all of those kind of things. And then what happens is some guys on the team kind of favor one guy over the other guy, even though everybody's got a job to do and they will do their job. But it's a distraction.
Essentially, the Chiefs have gone back to training camp here for the next couple of days. But instead of having Stanzi and Quinn split reps behind Matt Cassel, it's now Cassel and Quinn splitting reps. It's an interesting scenario. Plus, they will continue to monitor the head injury to Matt Cassel. It's something you watch every minute of every day from here on. Your thoughts on this situation, because it is unique now.
It's very unique, and of course the safety of Matt Cassel will be paramount. But after that's determined that he's okay, and apparently with the baseline testing and some of the things they've done to ascertain what's going on there, that they say it's okay. Playing this week, you know, when it first came down to me, I was like, well, wait a minute, are you both guys taking reps? What's going on here? But then I understood, okay, this is a bye week. This week you're going to watch them both practice and see how they do. You're going to figure out, I guess, who's going to go next week. And from there, they're going to get the bulk of the snaps. But either way, it's, I'm not going to say unsettling, but it is definitely a different position that most teams don't find themselves in.
Well, no matter who the quarterback is, there needs to be a performance raise on this whole team. Let's just be honest. This is the week in a bye week where you basically put the whole organization in an MRI machine. Mm-hmm. Or you can do an audit. You can give any kind of analogy you want. The plant shut down. But 1-5 is not what anybody expected. We have to be honest
right.
about that. We're going to get into some of the stats, where this team can build off of, some positives, and where it needs to improve. But the minus 15 in the giveaway takeaway, again, just jumps off the laptop and off your iPad and says, wow, the next closest team right. in the league at 31 is half of those.
Yeah, you do have to go back and reassess. And this is what I always did as a player when I went back, even with the position that I played, is you look at the game film and you see how you're performing. You find the plays that you didn't do so well, and you see if you're giving anything off, if you're showing any tips, if you're doing some things that aren't giving you the best chance to be successful. So if you go back and you can find those, then hopefully you can raise your performance level when you come back. But, you know, it's something, quite honestly, every player has to do. The coaches do it. They're going to go through their tendencies. They're going to figure out, what do they do on first and 10? What do they do on second and short, second and medium? Are they going to something when they have third and long? Those are things that they're doing every week, but they're going to go, they're going to reassess, and that's what a good team does. Win or lose, you always do those type of things in a bye week.
Let's slip back to the Tampa Bay game. The most disconcerting thing about this game to me was the fact that Tampa had been void, mostly, of big plays. They were last in the league of 10-plus plays going into the Kansas City game. the Chiefs have been able to generate some big plays on offense. But Tampa in this game gets a 62-yard touchdown pass. We just saw it, Kendall. They get a 61-yard pass on a tip play, a 42-yard pass. And this is another interception here. 11 interceptions for Kansas City in the first six games. 7 of the 11 have been off deflections. This is the one where Tampa Bay kind of catches the Chiefs napping. I'm not sure Stanford Rouse ready to go on this play, but they snap it quick, and Mike Williams wins the 50-50 ball, and it makes it 7-3.
Well, you're right, and you see right here, he's in good position, but for whatever reason doesn't quite get turned around, and Williams jumps over him and makes a really good play, which you always talk about it. The other team gets paid to play also, but sometimes things just go crazy. You see this right here. You couldn't script this. This doesn't happen in the next two decades, a play like that.
Well, you can go a lifetime and never see this.
Exactly right. And you can even go back and maybe argue that the ball actually did hit the ground, but it depends on how it was ruled on the field. So you've got things, as you see here in the slow motion. I mean, it depended on how it was ruled on the field and was there enough conclusive evidence. I don't know. I'm on the Chiefs sideline. I think it hit the ground. But the fact is, those are crazy things that aren't going the Chiefs' way. But that's been the storyline really of the year. And you see right here, making a big play, again, tipping the ball up. Pretty good position with Stanford Route. But again, you're giving up a big play. I believe that's to Tyquan Underwood. Those things. I mean, Josh Freeman throws for 328 yards on the day, 15 of 26. But Mitch, on 5 of those plays, he got 200 yards. So it was a day of big plays for Mitch, or rather for Josh Freeman and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'll take you one step further. On 3 plays, he has 160 yards, a 62, a 61. And once again, a running back gets free up the sideline. Doug Martin has a 42-yard reception on a simple kind of check down look and throw. The big plays really got to me in this one because Tampa Bay had not been doing that offensively in their first 4 games.
Yeah, it seemed to me like Tampa Bay had the Chiefs defense on their heels for whatever reason several times, confused them a little bit. I thought, quite honestly, you saw a natural pick, something that we got called for the week before at Baltimore in terms of on that long run play, rather to the back, out of the backfield. But you know what? You know, sometimes when you have a quick back like they have, and I believe it's Doug Martin, and you get him on a linebacker, that's quite honestly, that's a matchup that as an offense you want to get. So, and that's not just Jovan Belcher. That's anybody, quite honestly. You want a running back who's quick on a linebacker. So for whatever reason, they've got to get it fixed. And again, that's what you're going to do this week, Mitch. You're going to go back. You're going to reassess. You're going to see what's going on. Am I taking false steps? Do I see things that I could have done better? That is what the off week's about. And quite honestly, you've got to get away from the game a little bit too. You can't forget it, but you need to let your mind clear a little bit. And if you think about everything that's gone on this year for the rest of the year, that just affects the performance. You've got to take it one play at a time. And if you do that, you have a chance to recover maybe and get things going on the right foot.
Offensively in the Tampa Bay game, Kansas City was not able to get big plays. Now, they had generated 20-plus plays, and Tampa Bay was near the bottom of the league on the back end of their defense.
Right.
Not the front end, but the back end. And in this game, only 2 19-yard plays, one to Maneri and one to Eachus. That was it. So Baldwin and Bo Breston weren't able to get those big chunk plays. And again, even though the Chiefs were even in the ratio this week, the giveaways were still there, even though they were on deflections.
You're exactly. And I felt like if the Chiefs just played even football or were plus in the turnover ratio that they would win. That didn't come to fruition, obviously. But, you know, the other thing that didn't come to fruition was going against that tough Tampa Bay defense versus the run. And you saw with Jamal Charles, 12 rushes for 40 yards. That's not what Chiefs or Chiefs fans have become accustomed to. Naturally, Tampa Bay, that's what they're trying to stop. But, and this is no disrespect to Maneri or McCluster, but when those are your two guys that are leading in catches, either the number of catches or the yardage, Maneri 4 for 45, that's great, a compliment, but you'd like your other, feature wide receivers and Bo and Baldwin to be getting some big yards and doing some things as well. I think Bo came into the game, leading the league in first down catches, or rather third in first down catches, so have been doing some good things. But again, it seems like the Chiefs, they go down, and then it's either a negative play or they have a tipped ball and something just goes haywire inside the 30-yard line.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later in the show, where the team can go in here. But to your point, I mean, you watch Tom Brady, you watch Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. They're calling all 4 suits in Trump.
Right.
They're spreading the thing around. And Dwayne Bowe, going into the Tampa Bay game, was the second most targeted receiver in the league, second to Reggie Wayne. Of Indianapolis. So you know, possibly spreading that thing around as the season goes on. We'll also get into some red zone and a gold zone inside the 30 where the team needs to improve there. But let's pick up some reaction in the locker room. Again, this was a trying to find the right adjective. It's like when I did the postgame report on KCChiefs.com. Sometimes you just can't find the right adjective to describe, but it was disappointing and deflating in that locker room to lose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Adversity has really been hitting us. You know, some of those interceptions, I mean, happen once in a million out of a million times, you know. But we're at the bad end of that stick, and we just got to try to find a way to stop, you know, stopping ourselves.
Every individual got to look at themselves, reevaluate themselves, and see what could I bring to the table to better our team, to better our situation. Just look at yourself inside out, good and bad, and see what could you do to change, get things to change around here. And that's the bottom line. We got to come back here after this bye week and get the ball rolling, turn this ball and get it rolling in our direction.
We need some time for everybody to get on the same page and really just start tomorrow. We have 3 days to kind of iron this out and just work hard. And, you know, special teams, offense, defense, everybody's included in this. We got to figure out a way that is just playing ball together and just trying to figure out a way to win and to stay in games as opposed to, you know, coming back out in the second half and, you know, not being there together.
You know, it's all a mental state. You know, it's about what you can do as a team and as an individual to, you know, help the team win. And, you know, as of right now, we got to dig deep and, you know, try to pull out of us the best that we have and put it on the field.
Have you ever experienced, you know, the setbacks like this at any point in your career?
Yes. As far as injury, I mean, last year I had one, and this year, and as far as the team goes, you know, everybody goes through rough times, and the teams go through rough times. It's how you respond during those times that's going to make you a good team. And, you know, I know we have a good group of individuals that has a good mindset. So, you know, if we can pull together and try to work something out with this whole deal, I think it'll be okay.
Well, it was very frustrating because it's a sum of a few plays, like you said, a few big plays that were not made by us. You know, we're just turning the game, but, you know, it's just something that we got to correct and get better for the week at next.
Let's take Kendrick Lewis's comments. He's the middle guy in there, and he was back on the field for the first time since the St. Louis preseason game. Very mature comments from him.
Very insightful.
And you played in the league 15 years. I've been around it 19 years. When you get hit in the stomach time and time again, you look about trying to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And you become introspective, starting with yourself first, including everybody in this organization. But I thought Kendrick's point is one that goes right to the core of the matter.
Well, yeah, very insightful words from Kendrick Lewis. And, of course, getting him back for the first time this year in the regular season. And to that point, having the defense the healthiest they've been this year, with the exception of Glenn Dorsey. But, you know, he said it all in terms of you got to look at yourself. You got to look in the mirror. And that's what I was talking about earlier, about you've got to go back and self-scout. You do it every week, but now you've got more time. And you've got to figure out. I mean, you play this game to win. You play this game for respect. And when those things aren't going on the field and it's not happening the way you want it to happen, I mean, you really do some soul searching. I've been there. It's not a fun time, but you've got to do it because it is your job. It's your profession. But it's still a game. These guys, 3 hours on Sunday, it's a game. They want to win. And it's frustrating when you're not getting the results that you think you're putting so much hard work in to get.
Well, where do the Kansas City Chiefs go from here? 1-5, disappointing. 2 games back in the AFC West. And that's what's also gets to you, too, is that this team could easily be 3-3 and right in that hunt with everybody else, because the AFC, for the most part, is just all sitting right there, particularly the AFC West. But that being said, you just focus on Oakland trying to come back to win a game. When we come back, we're going to talk about where do the Chiefs start? What do you have to sink your teeth into as you do this audit, the plant shutdown, putting the team through the MRI machine, and where do you go? We'll talk about that when we return on Chiefs Live.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women.
Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
With the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate.
If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on kcchiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
Our fans alive. What makes them so amazing is the intensity, how they keep their intensity throughout the whole game, how they are always backing us, good or bad. They're loud and embracing us and trying to root us on. And it's just like an extra defender when we out there on big third down plays when we know we need them, we know we need the crowd. Just like last year when the crowd was going crazy, when Phillip Rivers fumbled the ball. That was a clutch moment, and I believe that our fans helped us tremendously. I give full credit to our fans. That's what we play for. We love going out in Arrowhead and showcasing our talents against opponents while they're watching.
Welcome back to Chiefs Live, and I'm glad we saw Ford Fandemonium. Mitch Holtis with you along with Kendall Gammon, because actually that's where I start. Chiefs fans have needed to be defended since last week. If you continue, you've got to have pride in the organization. Yep. You've got to have pride in that stadium. If you lose that, it's real hard to get it back. But that pride, with five home games remaining to flip it, that's to me where it starts. Those scenes that we saw right there, that's what's got to be there for the remainder of the year at home.
Well, and I was just saying to you off air is the fact of I've been there both as an opponent and playing for the Chiefs, and it is so awesome. But I'm not worried about that. I know Chiefs fans and how they are, and I've seen the sample size, and I'm looking forward to that because it is so important these last five home games. You want to get two or three offside penalties. It's a jet engine down there. The sea of red makes a difference, and it's got to continue to make a difference, quite honestly, for the team to get to where they want to go.
Pride and passion. That's going to be one of the things that come off the MRI report for this team to get it turned around this year. Now, to look at where the Chiefs are going or what they have to hang on to, let's just kind of take a look at where they've been and look at some key points of the first six games of the season. The Atlanta game. Every one of these games, Kendall, has a different theme. Your thoughts on the Atlanta game and what it meant?
Well, you came into the season expecting so much from the Chiefs, and you weren't disappointed in that first half. They put up, I think, 17 points. They go down 20-17 the first half. And you're like, okay, we got some things going. You have this throw right here to Boss, who's a great pickup in the offseason. Castle threads the needle there. You're like, okay, this is what we expect as Chiefs fans. But as you moved forward into the second half, things didn't go our way. And it was the turnover bug that started getting us. And we just weren't able to stop offenses. And rather this way, Atlanta's offense the way we needed to. The defense just had a sort of collapse and couldn't get it back going that time. Now, you saw, as we see plays like this, Jamaal Charles doing some good plays. I mean, great blocking. The offensive line, much improved from last year, and they made some key pickups, obviously, but it's rough. The second half was completely opposite of the first half, in my opinion.
Well, Jamaal Charles, we'll talk about this in a second. Of course, the NFL's leading rusher going into the bye. Number one, yards from scrimmage going into the bye. Here's Matt Cassel on a quarterback draw. This game was a shootout. Look at the score at the top left. And this tied it at 17-17. But this was like the U.S. Open tennis match. Then this play happened. Instead of going 20-20,
right,
with 6 minutes elapsed in the third quarter, this is the only miss of the year from Ryan Succop. And it gave serve back to Matt Ryan. So he has proven in the weeks after this game that this game was not an anomaly. This is one of the most powerful offenses in the league. But this is when your game turned right here. The Chiefs get two possessions down, and it was on after that. Every game has its theme. This game was the defense could not stop a really good Atlanta team.
Right, and you know what? When you look back at that now with what Atlanta's doing, undefeated at, I believe, 6-0 and some of the things they're doing, and when you look at those stats right there, I mean, the Chiefs stat-wise did some good things, but the thing you look at is the turnovers and you look at the sacks. Those are the two big stats from that game that made a difference, in my opinion. But, again, Atlanta, many people right now picking them to be in the Super Bowl, and why wouldn't you with what they're doing right now?
But it did unfortunately set the tone with those three sacks and the three turnovers, which kind of went into the next week. Now, the Buffalo game, an issue. There were some scheme things here that Buffalo did with C.J. Spiller. This time they put him in the slot, get him into a bubble. They moved him around all day long. He later gets hurt, I think maybe the next week, but Buffalo set the tone. They became the aggressor here. This is another one where they kind of get the flank on the Chiefs, and Kansas City couldn't stop them, getting down at 35-3.
Well, you're right, and of course, Kansas City coming off the rough loss from Atlanta, but you also had a Buffalo team coming back home after a terrible loss to the New York Jets, and when you go play a wounded animal in their home stadium, you always have to be aware of it and what's going on. But again, that game, it just, the one thing that stands out is you look at these stats again, is your turnovers at three. That's the thing that made the difference. The time possession, you see where it is. First downs, they do a good job. Total yards. But when it comes down to it, it was the turnovers and the points off of those turnovers that made the difference.
And minus six after 2 weeks. And an 0-2 start. Injuries involved there, trying to find a rhythm on the defensive side, and the turnovers dooming the Kansas City Chiefs. Then a trip to New Orleans. Now, this game was interesting. The Chiefs get down again, Jimmy Graham on Drew Brees. This was part of his march to the all-time NFL record. But Kansas City kept fighting in this game numerically, although here's another pick. Numerically, the greatest comeback in franchise history. Overall, your feeling of the Chiefs' only win so far this year?
You know what? Arguably, for much of that game, nothing was going right for the Chiefs. They couldn't stop them. They get down 18 points, and then you get the Jamal Charles run that it's like being on an airplane when the oxygen mask comes down, and that oxygen mask came down, and it breathed life into the Chiefs and what was going on. This, you know, helped close the gap very, very quickly, and you saw a different Chiefs team from there, not only offensively but defensively, forcing several three and outs. And then, of course, they drive down and they get the field goal to tie the game and go into overtime. They get the ball, they move it a little bit, but then they have to punt it back. But then they go ahead and they stop New Orleans, and you see the pick right there by Stanford Rout. But getting back to it, you see, all the field goals, I guess, that Succop had, he was 6-for-6 that day, made such a huge difference. But again, this is where Jamal Charles that week really started to get off and doing some good things. And again, leading rusher in the league, and it's because of this game that really got him going.
And Justin Houston with the safety. The Chiefs get 21 unanswered points. It'll be unforgettable. Four field goals, a 91-yard touchdown run, and then the safety. But Succop, we saw the miss against Atlanta. Critical miss, but Ryan has not missed since. He's only missed one field goal all year long, and to nail the game winner. And for the Chiefs to pull this out and have the rally, at the time we thought it would spur them into the next week. However, when you go at the bye and you kind of regroup and think, the fact that you're able to pull that off does give you a lift somehow and a bounce into the next 10 weeks, because you can hang your hat on doing what they did in that game. Plus, it was also a start of a defense maybe putting some things together. We'll talk about Justin Houston in a minute. But defensively, New Orleans has shown the ability to move the ball on offense with Drew Brees since that game. But to rally at third place to win that game is something. Or how much can you take then in the final 10 weeks of the season?
I think you take a whole bunch from that, because the fact is you went down into New Orleans, a hostile environment, and you came back from 18 points, the most ever in Chiefs franchise history. And you send it to overtime, and then you get it done there as well. And you had, I don't know if it's a complete game, because the offense didn't get it done for the first 2.5 to 3 quarters, But defensively, they did some things, and you saw the special team step up as well. Not just in terms of 6-for-6 on your field goals, but also Dustin Colquitt doing a great job pinning them down deep. And, of course, you get that safety from Justin Houston, I believe. That doesn't happen to Drew Brees very often. Those are things that, like you said, you can build on.
Back-to-back home games, giving Kansas City a chance to get things rolling. And in the San Diego game, one thing that we'll talk about, too, needs to be corrected. Team scoring on their first drive of the half or the game. And that happened here with San Diego getting a 76-yard drive. And then the turnovers in the first quarter doomed this game. Because by the time the Chiefs could even catch a breath, it was a 3-possession lead for the Chargers.
Yeah, and right now, the way the Chiefs, or rather then, when the Chiefs, way they were playing, they weren't built to come back from a deficit like that, even though we'd seen the 18-point deficit with New Orleans revived the week before. That's not what you can do in the NFL over and over again. But the fact is, you saw it a little bit ago with Jamal Charles giving the ball up, but he does some good things here on an impromptu play, going to his right and then reversing field and getting back to his left. But again, it seemed like it was catch-up all day, and then you see things like that where you hit a receiver, maybe you throw it a little bit behind. One way or the other, the ball gets tipped up and it goes into the hands. You get a pick six. Again, points off of turnovers.
Kansas City is way behind in that category. And you look at the turnovers. Just to have 6 turnovers in a game, be -5, you're not going to beat anybody in this league. And even though Kansas City rallied in the second half of this game, this was one that when you get in the car and drive home was rough to take. Mainly because you were coming off that terrific comeback against New Orleans, and this was a winnable game against San Diego.
Well, it was, and it didn't give you a lot of confidence, quite honestly, going into the Baltimore game. That's a game that, of course, nobody gave the Chiefs any chance to win, and yet what do they do in the Baltimore game? They go and they run the ball. They run the ball for the most yards in the first half ever against a Baltimore Ravens franchise. I mean, that's unreal. Almost 180 yards in that first half, I believe. That's spectacular. They do some great jobs, put pressure on Flacco. He's not able to get it off. I think you see Holly and Houston both have a good day, get some tackles. But again, ball possession. Just when you get the ball back, just when you're doing some good things, you give it back up, and that's one thing you can't be. And as you see Houston right there coming around the left end, starting to come into his own, he's the one bright spot, or one of the bright spots that you can see as you move into this last 10 games of the season.
Yeah, and this was a turnover after a great interception by Brandon Flowers. The Chiefs gave it right back in this game to the Baltimore Ravens, but you kept a very, very good Ravens offense out of the end zone. This is a play then when Matt Cassel gets hurt on the throw that goes for double-digit play to Jamal Charles, but this is the one that knocks him out of the game and gives him the head injury. And then Brady Quinn comes in. This looked to be the go-ahead and possibly game-winning touchdown that was called back because of offensive pass interference.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's a judgment call. One of them I would say was a decent call. The other one I thought was a little bit sketchy. But, you know, you had talked about it on this show in terms of what was the blueprint to beat the Baltimore Ravens. It was to hold on to the ball. They hold on to it almost 10 minutes more, sack the QB. They did a great job of that. But the one thing that was the variable is the turnovers. And when you're -2 and you give the ball up 4 times, that's what made the difference there when you didn't convert. I mean, a game between Baltimore and Kansas City where there's no touchdowns scored, wouldn't have thought it.
Also, the 4 sacks taken in that game. At that point, Kansas City had 13 sacks for the season, and that was 5 ahead of the league average at the point. So, again, the turnovers and the sacks, just too much, just
right,
piled on this team. But there was some confidence coming out of that game because of the defense and the way they had played at all 3 levels. The defensive line, Dontari Poe had a great game against the Baltimore Ravens. Tyson Jackson did a good job in that game. Alan Bailey had to play because Dorsey was out, and guys slipped in there. And Flacco had struggles all day long because the Chiefs were getting pressure without sacrificing coverage. They were getting coverage without sacrificing pressure.
You're exactly right. And as you look at that interception by Flowers, you talked about it. That's as textbook of interception as you can see, because he's running stride for stride with him, and then he stops, he plants, and he comes back, and he gets the ball. And then the other thing, you talked about the coverage, a great job in terms of a sack right there. Okay, Justin Houston beat his man, but you saw other sacks where Flacco had time to throw, but the coverage was such that he didn't have anywhere to go with the ball, and then the sack came after that. So you had what you call coverage sacks. That's a good thing from a defensive perspective.
Well, you see pieces of how you can move on for the remainder of the season. And let's talk with the first big piece, and that is a guy like Justin Houston. Because this team, to turn the season around and be really good in the next 10 games, to me it starts with defense. We'll get into taking care of the ball, but Justin Houston is turning into a big-time outside linebacker, not just a pass rusher.
Well, you're right, and you see right there, I mean, he just bulls him and he goes to the inside of him. Justin Houston is a very rare case of strength and speed and quickness. He's got a good body bend, which is he can get down low. You see right there, he's covering people out of the backfield. As an outside linebacker, and of course we've seen an interception this year as well, as an outside linebacker, you may have to cover every once in a while. So it's not always rushing the QB like you see right there. So he's becoming a complete player. And with that, when he becomes that complete player and he continues to go, that helps make other people on the defensive line good as well, notably Tom Bahali.
So we've seen him, just in these highlights, speed rush, bull rush, cover a back out of the backfield, run defense. The 3-4 linebacker position, as you alluded to, is so difficult to play. His interception against Tampa Bay was gigantic because he's got a cover in the flat. But you see, it's not just him speed rushing off the edge. He can bull rush. He's got that kind of power. He's smart enough here not to go at the knees of Flacco.
Right.
That'd have been a penalty. He goes right at the waist. I mean, this guy is turning into a player. Plus, this one really impressed me because it became a sudden change. He was able to cover the flat, showed the ability to catch the ball, and turn it into a big play for Kansas City. To me, Justin Houston is a guy that becomes an anchor for this team to move into the next 10 weeks.
Well, let's not forget, this is only his second year. The thing that you really should be excited about, even with all those great plays you've seen as a Chiefs fan, is the fact that he's young. He's learning. He hasn't learned it all yet. There's more to come. He will get better.
And people talk about the late Derek Thomas, and he was outstanding, great off the edge as a pass rusher. But there was always frustration with DT on trying to, what can you do? Can you have him in coverage? Can he defend the run? People would run right at him. With Houston, you see that he can do all three things. Another area for Kansas City, which is a strength to move into the next 10 weeks, have been special teams. This seems to be improving every week. Kendall, your thoughts on Dustin Colquitt, because he's having a Pro Bowl-type year. If the Chiefs are going to win games in the next 10 weeks, plays like this have got to happen repeatedly.
Well, you're exactly right. And as you see right now, he's kicking what you referred to as a rugby-style punt end over end. But you're seeing his coverage team do a great job. Dustin has 16 punts inside the 20 this year. That's number two in the league. That has been paramount in terms of field position for the defense. When the Chiefs' opponent's offense comes out right now, they need binoculars to see the other end of the field, but where they're going, because he is doing such a stellar job of pinning them inside the 20. And again, you can't say enough for the coverage teams getting down there and down in it as well. Jaleel Brown has been doing a great job. You see right here, jumps up, knocks it back in. Just phenomenal. That's something that must continue the rest of the year for them to continue to be, or rather to seek the success they want to get.
And I think also the way the Chiefs are playing right now, they have to be explosive in the special teams game. You can be explosive in a variety of ways, and this is one of them. Sean Drone, an outstanding block punt, leads to what officially is a fumble recovery. It's something dumb rule in the NFL. But Drone, to make this play when the Chiefs are down and need a lift, it's reminiscent of what McGraw did against Baltimore in 09. Your thoughts on being explosive in special teams?
Well, you're right. There's nothing that either gets you more pumped up or deflates you more in terms of either a good or a bad special teams play. And right there you see Terrence Copper ripping the ball out on the first drive, or rather the first kickoff return when Baltimore comes out. I mean, that was a big deal to get a turnover like that, be in Baltimore's territory. Things like that get it going, especially at Arrowhead when you've got those fans going crazy. So that makes all the difference in the world. It's plays like that that you want to continue. And right here you see Copper again, special teams captain, realizes that the ball hit Baltimore and that it doesn't matter what he does. He can do whatever he wants with it. If he fumbles it, it doesn't matter. It's coming back to where it was first touched. He has nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Yeah, very heads-up play there. And then we've got to talk about Ryan Succop. He had the one miss against Atlanta. We all know that. But the six franchise record, six field goals to beat New Orleans, again, to play the Chiefs the way they're going to play the next 10 weeks to be successful in special teams, field position. But you've got to hit every one of these field goals. It's kind of like the Chiefs in Super Bowl IV. They needed all of Jan Stenerud's kicks for the remainder of the year. Succop, your thoughts on what he can do to stay hot?
Well, I'm really, really impressed with how he is from the mental side of things because, I mean, he's cognizant of what's going on offensively. They're getting inside the 30, but they're not scoring touchdowns. He knows that it's a big letdown if they don't score at all. So every time he goes out there, he knows if he doesn't make it, that certainly could be an issue and really can kind of play with you a little bit. So for him to go out there and be very, very calm, collected, and do his job, that makes a difference. That has to continue for the Chiefs to get to where they want in these last 10 games as well.
The other thing the Chiefs have going into the next 10 games of the season, the number one rusher in the National Football League in Jamaal Charles, number one in yards from scrimmage. And he has been simply amazing. His toughness is what gets me. This is a mentally tough play. The Chiefs are down 24-6. He's playing like it's tied in overtime and gives his team a lift by doing his Olympic sprinter routine here. But mentally, to me, it was as much as his physical ability.
Well, yeah, you absolutely could have understood if somebody maybe let up a little bit when you're down 18 points. But as you see, he never does. Here, going to the right, nothing there. He changes, reverses field, and goes for a 37-yard touchdown around the left end. That's what Jamaal gives you. Growing up playing not it, he was never it. This guy is fast. He can get it done. But also some things that really go unnoticed is the offensive line and what they're doing. They're getting good fits. They're moving the defensive line laterally, which is to open up holes so Jamaal can decide where he wants to go with the ball. And as you see right here, hitting him in space. That's a glorified handoff, but when you get him on the outside in space and you get a lineman or two in front of him, where you see Winston, you see Asamoah, those things make a difference as well. And then again, speed kills, and he has a chance to kill you.
And the Chiefs have to get him some help in the next 10 games. Hopefully, we saw Peyton Hillis earlier. Hopefully, he can come back from injury to help. Drone starts to continue to do things from week to week. We've seen some flashes from Cyrus Gray as well, just to take some of those touches away from Jamaal to keep him on the field and keep him healthy. We also saw Tampa Bay target him early. There were some extracurricular things, it looks like, in that game. When teams know they're going to come right after Jamaal and try to knock him out because he's the Chiefs' middleweight fighter, so to give Jamaal some help throughout the next 10 weeks, how paramount is that?
It's huge, and you had Hillis here for that, but of course he's been out with an ankle injury. So Drone and Cyrus Gray, they have to continue to do some good things there. They just have to spell him, because I think as you get farther along the season, if you continue to get 25 to 30 touches, that's like bricks on a house. It continues to build, and it gets higher and higher. The fatigue gets a little bit more. So you would like to give him a rest when you can. Take a little bit of that physical punishment off of him.
As we close Chiefs Live, we do need to address some things of what the Chiefs have to fix. One of those is starting games better. Kansas City has been outscored in first possessions of the game so far, I believe something like 24-6. In the first possessions of the second half, or it's 21-6, 24-7. That's first possession of the first quarter and the first possession of the third quarter. Your thoughts on starting faster, whether you get the ball or you have to play defense?
Well, listen, we're not going to gloss over it. The Chiefs this year have not led in the game, and you've got to put some points on the board early and get a lead on somebody and see how they play when they're coming from behind and see how you do with things when you've got a lead and how you can deal with it. I think that's huge to shift some of the pressure over from the offensive side of the ball of the Kansas City Chiefs over to the other side of the ball, which is the opponents, and make them decide what they're going to do and how they're going to come back from something like that. Again, especially at home. You get a lead at home. You get a touchdown, a field goal on that first drive. You get to see a red into it. That makes a difference. It's hard to hear down there, and it makes a difference when the Chiefs' defense comes out there and they're dealing with that as far as the offensive side of the ball, the opponents. They can't hear. They have a harder time getting off the ball. Your bookends, Tom Bahali, Justin Houston, as we talked about earlier, they have a better chance to get to the QB. That makes a difference.
One final point. If the Chiefs' recipe to win in the next 10 weeks, play great defense, play great special teams, be efficient on offense. You've got Jamaal Charles to use. When you get in the scoring zone, more sevens instead of threes, being better in the red zone, or let's say the gold zone. From the 30 on in, Kansas City is near the bottom in touchdown efficiency. Red zone, near the bottom in touchdown efficiency, and yards per play in the red zone is last in the league. Finally, final thought before we go to the bye on Chiefs Live, how do you get better in the gold zone, red zone?
You know, you have to go back and you have to look what's going on, and maybe you're not it's hard. You have to go back and reassess, but when it comes down to it, you've got to hold on to the ball. You can't throw interceptions down there. You can never throw interceptions, but you've really got to take it seriously down there and understand that this is big. We've got a chance to score now and hold on to the ball as well, because, again, just like I talked about deflating the team with special teams plays, when you turn the ball over, that's so deflating as well.
And I'll say this, declare all four trumps. you can spread the ball around, because to me in the red zone, to have it lateral, because the vertical field shuts down, you've got to be able to go the 53-yard width of the field with all kinds of weapons. And I would say spread the love maybe on that. All right, Kendall Gaiman, here we go to the bye week. Let's hope this season turns around. Thanks for joining us as we get ready for the next 10 games of Kansas City Chiefs football. Join us next on Chiefs Live as we get ready for the Oakland Raiders.